I was in Destin with Howard recently, and we got a chance to sit down and talk about what's possible for 2026. And what we came up with was a year-long program around the Great Game of Business. And I realize that many of you have not heard about this yet, and those of you who have gone through some of the Great Game training have not gone through leadership with us. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a taste, right? I created a portion of what we call leading the game that we could go through here. And this is, by the way, the same leadership program we use with our 2,000 employees in Springfield, Missouri, at our 11 different factories. So I know I've been saying the Great Game of Business. How many of you have heard of the Great Game of Business? Well, that's a lot. That's good. I'll give you an update on where we are today. And while we're at it, Santi, I need to go to the next deck. Or is it up here? This would be leading the game. Maybe I can. No. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian Partridge. Look at that. See, did you see that? He leapt upon the stage. I hate him. No. You do have a young heart. So leading the game, the idea is that we hire so many people. We're at 2,000 people now, 11 different companies. We just started the 11th one about 3 months ago. They just signed it 2 weeks ago with Genie, the Lyft company. You know what that is? So 50-50 joint venture where we're remanufacturing their whole goods. In other words, if a Genie Lyft dies out in the field, it will now lead in the game. Yes, thank you. It will come back to Springfield where the whole thing will be completely remanufactured and then taken back out into the field. So the reason that I'm telling you that story is that we're always building, we're always growing, we're always looking for the next thing. The problem is remanufacturing is dirty business. Our raw material is your broken stuff. You understand what I mean? So remanufacturing, we don't rebuild anything. We actually take it completely apart. Every tiny little piece that can be taken apart is taken apart, remachined, evaluated, and then either replaced because we remachined it, or if it's not salvageable, we put in new. We warranty the item as new, whether it be a Genie Lyft or a 350 Chevy engine, or nowadays we're into Paccar's giant EV batteries that go into their semi-trucks. Isn't that crazy? I mean, we'll do anything. We just spent $1 million on robotics so that we can do chip harvesting. It sounds delicious, doesn't it? It sounds like a new item at Chipotle. Chip harvesting. It's autumnal. No? Really? I'm just going to let it sink in. You got to stay with me, peeps. What I'm saying is our biggest problem is not finding core, which is the raw material, right? Broken things. If you go to O'Reilly Automotive, also headquartered in Springfield, Missouri, if you have an alternator go bad, you have one price if you give them your alternator. You get another price that's lower if you give them your old one, what they call core. That's our raw material. It's not hard to find that stuff. I mean, it is, but we're really good at it. The hardest part is getting people. Today, I mean, Elise and I have been talking about this ever since I walked in the door. Today, we don't have ready-made employees. We certainly don't have ready-made leaders. Can we agree on that? If it makes you feel any better, I actually read that term, ready-made employee, from a time expert. What do you call it? Time, help me out, somebody. You know, they used to... Time study, yes, a time study expert, name escapes me, but from the 1930s, he said, there are no such thing as ready-made employees. You will have to build them. And guess what we're still living in now, 2025, same thing. So leading the game is really that thing that we've been doing for years, but we've had to formalize it into a structured program that lasts 6 months. And then after that, you get to go into Elevate, which is the next program. So what I'm about to do is take you through just a taste of what the Leading the Game program looks like. Are you all in for it?
Yeah.
There's not nearly as much groin talk. Is that okay? Aw. Being honest. So what I want you to do, does everyone have a Leading the Game handout? No, we'll get them for you. I know that Michelle has got these going. Is it okay if I continue and we'll get the materials to you? Is that cool? Because essentially what we're going to be doing is just, as I said, we're going to be talking about how we approach leadership, and it's not about how we approach management. Is there a difference between manage? Yeah? So what's the difference? Go ahead, talk to me. You manage things, not people. Is that what you said? And what did you say? Leadership inspires. Who loves a boss? Raise your hand.
I love a boss.
Oh, yeah. You do. One person in here loves Greg. Oh, that's not true. We love him. That was a good answer. Okay, you guys can't answer for one minute. Who else just think about your best boss ever. Were they just incredible? What about your worst boss? What did you hate about your worst boss ever? Everything? That covers it. Okay. How much time you got? Well, how much you need? The thing is, Jack Stack even wrote an article in 1989. This is 6 years after the turnaround. That appeared in Inc. magazine, Why I Hate Being Boss. It made the cover of Inc. magazine because he doesn't like to boss people around. A leader doesn't have all the answers. A leader has the right questions. Because what is our job as a leader? What do you think it is? Coaching, I like that. Create direction. Paint a picture. Inspire. These are all things a really good leader does. And I think one of the things I've learned is that a real true leader teaches you to think. But you've got to have, just like I said in QTR, you've got to have a system. And so our system is the Great Game of Business. We're going to teach people the financials. We're going to ask them to hold each other accountable. We're going to give them a stake in the outcome. But in reality, let's get down to business. Would your business be any different if people acted like they owned the place? I'm not suggesting that you immediately run out and talk to your attorneys and your accountants and all of your advisors and go ESOP or some other form of employee ownership. I'm a huge believer in employee ownership, but this is not what I'm talking about. What am I talking about when I talk about ownership?
Being responsible.
That is beautiful. Could you come up and finish this talk for me? No, that's exactly what I want. Ownership starts here, doesn't it? It's either here or here way before it ever gets to the wallet. That's what I'm after. If someone acts like they own the place, boy, they act completely different. They behave totally different. It's the same way we treat rented stuff. Do you treat your home the way you would treat your first apartment? I hope not. Or else I was living different than you guys. I mean, anything I've ever, I'm on the road every single week. If I'm not in an Uber, I'm in a rental car. Do you think I'm driving it the same as I do my own cars at home? I don't have to. Do you think I wash it? Nope. Check the tires? Not really. Do you think I am changing the oil on time? No, it's a rental. There's literally a phrase for it. It's a rental. So that's what I want to get across to you is that we need to have a strategy, and ours is to build a business of business people who think and act and feel just like the owners do. Well, in order to do that, that's the premise behind the Great Game of Business. We want to teach people, and we like to do it in the way that Jack did. Here's Jack. This is from 1986, another Inc. magazine cover that he got. For those of you who don't know about the Great Game, I'll give you the quick version. 1983, Jack Stack and 12 other managers scraped together $100,000 so they could make a down payment and buy their jobs from International Harvester. You see, they worked. Jack was from Chicago. He was sent to Springfield, Missouri to close a factory called the SRC, the Springfield Renew Center is what it was called at the time. But he got turned down a lot because when he went to the banks and said, look, they're the best in the world at remanufacturing, best on-time delivery, best warranty rate, best quality, best safety record. What do you think the bank said when he said, I want to borrow $9 million to save 119 jobs? The answer is no. Thank you. This is a really smart group right here. You could imagine, right? $100,000 against $9 million. He got turned down 54 times in a year and a half. Do you think he had to learn the language that the banks were speaking? He had the scorecard of a great engine. He did not have the scorecard of a great company. Do you see the difference? When he realized they were looking at the wrong metrics, he said, I've got to learn their language. And so that's when the great game of business was born. February 1st, 1983, the worst corporate buyout in American history, $8.9 million against $100,000 down at the deal rate of 18%. He didn't even understand interest at the time. Today, he's considered one of the best strategists in America. But in 1983, he was 29 years old, a $200 a month mortgage, and three kids in diapers. Are you kidding me? This guy he was just trying to help people out, right? He's trying to save his own job and 100 other families. The reason I'm so passionate about this is because who in the world has that kind of tenacity? Over a year and a half and 54 rejections so he could learn the language that would save these jobs. Now, there's the article itself. It's not important that you read all the details or anything else, but what I'm trying to tell you is this is what Jack learned. How can you win a game when you don't even know what game you're in? He knew he had to teach everybody in the factory what he had learned from the banks over that period of 18 months. Now, the reality is that we have to start teaching people, the leaders of our future business, we have to start now. When's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. Second best time, today. That's how you got to think about your leaders, because I don't know if you can tell by looking at someone or giving them an evaluation or some kind of a survey. I don't know if you can tell if someone is made for leadership. I don't think I was made to be a public speaker, author, coach, and that sort of thing. I think it was in me, and I do believe that God did make me for that, but I didn't know it. I didn't believe it. Are you with me? I was looking for a way to feed my kids, pay the mortgage, take care of Joanne, right? So 20 years ago, even though I was a very hard worker, very creative and everything else, no one ever bothered to teach me the reality of business. Instead, every time Joanne was pregnant or the money van broke down, I would go to my bosses and I would say, I need more money. How do I make more money? And what do you think they said? Work harder or sell more. Very rarely is that the answer. We all need sales, but the fact is they never said, we need to make a certain margin, we're trying to get this much cash flow, give these terms, don't do that, right? Instead, it was just sheer volume. That was never good, and by the way, two of the companies I used to work for went out of business shortly after I left. Not because I left, mind you, or was it? They also closed my high school. I hadn't really made that connection till today, I've got to be honest. But what we believe is that belief itself is the foundation of leadership. So what you've got to reflect on what you believe in business, about people. You understand what I mean? Because what you're doing every day, you are exhibiting your beliefs, whether you know it or not, just like you're exhibiting your culture. If you are a leader and you wonder what's wrong with your culture, you better find a mirror pretty quick. Do your kids pay attention to you every single minute of every day when you're not paying attention? Do you understand what I'm getting at? Are they watching you? Do they pick up little habits? Have you ever had a child? No, this is probably the wrong group. I just found out the hard way that my kids learned most of the words they were forbidden to use from me. So where do our employees learn bad behaviors? Sometimes from us, sometimes from a past employer, sometimes from parents, believe it or not, or siblings. Most often, like I learned something interesting. I went to work at 15 as a dishwasher because I wanted my own money. I wanted freedom, right? I wanted control, just like we talked about in QTR. And so my parents had to sign a waiver with the school system so that I could get a work permit and go to work. And I went in there just like mom and dad raised me. They called it asses and elbows. You ever hear of that? What's it mean? work hard. I just want to see your butt and your elbows. You better be working that hard. I don't see your face. The problem is when I went to the dishwashing thing, I'd get done with the dishes and I really wanted to learn to cook. But they were all outside having a smoke and they kept saying to me, Baker, don't you know you get paid by the hour? The longer you can make it work, the more hours you get, the more money you get. Do you see how wrong that is? So the influencers are coming from everywhere. Old jobs, old bosses, parents, siblings, but also a whole lot of messed up stuff. And is there a way to get rumor, gossip, and misinformation about money, business, and capitalism into your people's heads? Is there a good way to do that? What is it? Not educating them. And if you don't teach your people, someone else will. Who's teaching your people today? TV? YouTube? Friends? I can't believe somebody didn't say social media. The algorithm is teaching your people. That is exactly right. You guys, it's insane, isn't it? 24/7, it's a constant pumping situation. It's just, America bad. I don't know what's good then. You know what I'm saying? What I want to do is I want to change that. We have to change that by showing people how to lead. So what we are going to start with here is you just have a very small fraction of the Leading the Game workbook, because that's what we have time for. In fact, Howard, what time should I be shifting from this? How much time do I have for this? 7 p.m. Great. We all in? Let me know. Well, I'm going to do phenomenal for you no matter how much time I got. Okay. Okay. Well, I thought you started at 12:45. Okay, perfect. That's great. So again, I want to remind you that this is just a taste. It's the beginning. It's the foundation of where we begin. And you can follow along in the book or we can just chat. But what I do want to do is let's have a lot of interaction about it, because I want to be able to either tell you a story to illustrate a point or clarify something for you. Let's just make it a conversation instead of a presentation. But can we all agree that beliefs are fundamental? Because what we believe creates our values. And what creates our values becomes reality. I know Zig has a lot of good quotes about that. There are a lot of ancient things. Ooh, this is sexy. Okay, who's feeling romantic? Let's get those scented candles out, everyone. They're in your goodie bag. No, they aren't. So let's make this interactive. Who wants to read? I'm going to have volunteers reading from the screen. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Ari Weinzweig is the founder, the co-founder of Zingerman's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. What started as a little sandwich place in downtown Ann Arbor has become an organization worth about $300 million. And his role, his model is to give people an opportunity to share in a business. Somebody came up with the idea of a bakery. Okay, let's do that. Why don't you run it? I'll give you a portion of the ownership. You want to start a candy factory, an ice cream store. Do you see what I mean? And now they ship internationally. The reason that I love Ari is because he always starts with beliefs, and he starts with vision. The things that a lot of corporate America say they do, like they'll plaster a vision, a mission, and values on their walls, but are they living it every day? There's a big difference between saying and doing. What I would like to do now, we have not tested this, but I'm hoping I can share a little video for you of Kevin Walter from Tasty Catering in Chicago. Do we have sound up here or not? It's okay if we don't. Oh, the lights. Let's do this. Kevin's boring. Let's move on. What? Here's what I wanted to show it to you for it. Kevin's a good friend. We've known each other for a long time. What? I can do it, but they said he was boring. Okay. I'll let him tell his story then. Here we go. Kevin Walter, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Kevin Walter. Most of you may know me as a pre-camp coach, which I've done over the last 8 years or so. But in my previous life, youngest of 11, World War II, our staff sergeant, as a father, and my mother showed out ranking in the house of the little kids. We grew up with command control. I'm in business with my two brothers. We had that as a study. And that command control got us up to the late 90s and 2000s. But with the newer generations, it did stop working well as a leadership module. So 2005, 2006, we made a couple of our own leaders that were really good in the 20-somethings. Basically, job offers to life with some equity built in it. And they surprised the heck out of us when they came back 2 days later and said, no, we don't want to stay unless the culture changes. And we said, what culture? We've got a family culture. And they said, well, that's just it. Sometimes the family doesn't get along so well, and we never know who we can approach and who we can't approach to get things done. We've got to have an employee-built and employee-based culture, and the most important thing is that the three of you follow it to the T, otherwise it's just right here on the wall. If you can do that, we'll stay. And you have some soul searching to do, or able to conjure up the courage to give your group a try. We said, let's try this out. There's been a few apologies and missteps when we didn't follow the culture. But what the key was that they told us is you have to follow it perfectly, and then the second step is you've got to hold others accountable to it. And you can't hold them accountable to it unless you live and breathe it every day. They really wanted that accountability. And that's what they wanted out of us. They wanted it out of the companies. So we did it, and it worked. One of the great things when this came along, introduced in 2011, it was the final piece of the puzzle to really get the command and control over the floor of employee empowerment and getting people to think and feel like owners. And it worked so well that by 2017, they took away my job in company because I was in coaching and moved me next door. And a year later, because it worked with me, they moved my two brothers next door, completely ran the company. And as a result, 2018 and 2019, we had the most profitable years ever with the two brothers working the least they ever did in the company. Amazing story.
So, you have to know Kevin and his two brothers because they're big men and they're very intimidating to look at. Have you ever heard of resting bitch face? All three of them. I mean, it's hardcore. And Kevin is a softy, man. He just loves his people. He loves culture. He's one of our coaches now, for goodness sakes. But the point of the story was they thought they were awesome because they were going to give ownership to their employees, and the employees said no because those boys were just fighting all the time. Is that not powerful? That's when those guys learned about leadership. So what I'm trying to share with you is that you have to have a set of beliefs that aligns with your goals in the business, but also your goals for your culture. So open up your little handouts there, and we're going to fill in some blanks. When you see Great Game Leaders Believe, this is some of the stuff we believe. So here's what I'm going to have you do. I'm going to point to a table, and you have to read the question as I give you the answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? The fill in the word here. So let's just try this. Table back here. What's the first belief? See, this is the test if anyone's paying attention. Anybody? Yeah, anybody from the table? Great Game Leaders Believe, and it's page 2, correct? If I don't inform my people, someone else will. Write that down. It's a big one. All right, let's go to the far end over here, this side. You guys want to do the next one? Given the... I'm lobbing it over the net. Not yet. Oh, you want them to go? Okay, anybody here at this table? Do you guys believe that? Given the opportunity, people want to learn the business. You have to do some soul searching because sometimes it might not be obvious, And sometimes not everybody will want to learn the business. Can you also believe that? What are we looking for? We're looking for the people who just are a little bit above everybody else, kind of going, how does this work? How do you make money? What's the difference between revenue, margin, profit, and cash? I hear you using these words all the time. Are they the same? You see what I mean? Great, thank you. You're getting in the spirit. So is everybody, you're wound up, you're ready to go for a few more? I can see we're connecting. Are you ready for number three? Hit me. What's the question? Okay, thank you. Excellent job. Do you believe that? That given the education and the access to the numbers, that people actually can learn business? You do? Good, because I've seen it firsthand. I'm one of them. Great job. All right, let's see. Who's the next table? We got you guys. Okay, back in the corner. Go for it. Do you agree with that? Have you ever had an employee you couldn't trust? What do you do with them? Help them find a job at the competitors. That's very good. Really good. Okay. Let's see. We're going to go across the room. Boo! This table back here. Go for it. Given the... Yes. Respect. And that is something that I think most people are craving. As much as they're craving leadership, they are craving respect and dignity. What did Zig say about every single human wants? To be significant. I'm trying to say it like Zig. Significant. Am I close? I had cassettes. I don't know. Maybe that's not how he sounded. The thing is, man, don't you want to be respected? I require it. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know that until I got just beyond the point of survival at work. Do you know what I mean? I made just enough money to make the bills, and then I'm like going, what's missing? Oh, my God, they don't give a crap about me. That makes a huge difference, does it not? It also makes for quick career changes. So do we provide an environment that gives people an opportunity to be respected and valued as a person? All right, and let's see. Would you guys do me the honor of the last one? So, should people share in the value they create, you guys? How do you share it now? How many of you do a bonus program? Keep your hands up for a minute, high as you can, okay? And now, how many of your bonus plans are working? Okay, so some of them, that's good. I like the pride at this table. These guys are rocking. You guys, you're good. Also good back here, wonderful. So bonuses are one way to do it. What's another way that you can share in a stake in the outcome? The mission, absolutely, good one. Recognition, yes, it's not all just rewards, because if I come to you and I say, tell me your name, Michael, Mikey, baby, Bubby. Nothing? This is all for you. You know that, Michael. You know what? What you did when you rewrote that code and our software took over Skynet and saved us from Cyberdyne Solutions? Thank you, Terminator fans. You remember that? That was awesome. That was a way to go. Did that cost me anything? Cost zero. What did it mean for Michael? Nothing? Did you say nothing? It could have been everything, and it could have been nothing. You are a hero, Michael. You are a hero. The thing is, do we tell our people? Do we stop long enough? Stop for 5 minutes in a day to just say, you know what? Like, we have our financial huddle on Monday at 2 p.m. Central every single week. We do not miss a huddle. And in that time, we start the financial huddle. Instead of with, well, let's start with sales, it starts with celebrations, good news. It's a great way to recognize each other. And I got to tell you, I don't need applause. Yeah, I do. Thank you. Thank you. The thing is, I am telling you, most people don't get any recognition They certainly aren't getting it at home, right? Because it's all give, give, give. But then when they come to work, what if you had a place where they were trusted, respected? What if they were recognized for their good work? Your work on Fortnite was absolutely unstoppable. You know what I mean? It does matter. They are paying attention. And even though people have different levels of need, we all like to have it. That recognition is neat, right? So I actually do recognition profiles for people, and everyone fills out a one-pager that says, hey, what kind of music do you like? What kind of food do you like? What's your favorite snack? What's your favorite movie? Because if it's time for recognition, if I knew what Michael really liked, I could say, Michael, that was awesome. Look, it's not about the bonus here. I just want to recognize you went above and beyond, and here's your latest Pokemon card. Awesome. I don't know. Is that still a thing? Okay. There you go. But if I had the recognition profile, I would know this. Does that make sense? And it also allows me to ask the question, do you like to be recognized in public or more privately? Because sometimes people don't like to be called out, no matter what. So wouldn't it be great to be able to go, Michael, you did a phenomenal job. I know you get embarrassed and everything, but here's your Pokemon card in a little envelope, right? Something like that. Useful so far, guys? Okay, good. So you start with beliefs, and if we walk through these, again, all I'm trying to do, this is not a comprehensive course. This is a taste of it, right? If I don't inform my people, someone else will. We've established that the world is trying to pump their heads full of whatever the algorithm says. And I think that was a really good way to put it. I'm going to steal that and use it from now on, because most articles these days, I have gotten very selective about the media that I look at because it depresses me. Can we agree? Does anyone actually watch the evening news anymore, like broadcast news? I'm just curious. No? No? No, not a single yes. Even from our more seasoned attendees, my wife still does. I will not sit there with her while she watches it because it is horrible. Now, the internet's the same way, and here's what I'll give it to you, is if it bleeds, it leads. Negativity is seductive. It's a lot more fun to consume negativity for the masses because it's drama. It's like entertainment. That isn't what news used to be. You know that, right? And then when the 24-hour news cycle started, they had to fill it. And so it got more spectacular and more ridiculous in some ways. All I'm trying to say is not everybody is reducing their media inputs. So your people are getting their information. You just got to make sure you're giving them enough information about the realities of the world, how money works, what business can do good, right? We can do good by doing well. I hope it's making sense. How about giving the opportunity? People want to learn the business. Not everybody will, but that's okay. The world is filled with lots and lots of people. I'm looking for the people who want to grow, who want to learn about something they didn't know before. And also, I hope they're looking at you saying, how did they get to drive that truck and live in that neighborhood? And how is it that they own part of this company? You know what I mean? I want to inspire them rather than have them feel like, well, he's got all the money. Do you have a truck? Yeah. I don't know how I knew that. I'm clairvoyant, but is it a nice truck? Pink. It's pink? Yeah, like his shoes?
Like this.
Okay, that makes sense. I thought you guys were the breast cancer table. So thank you. No, I'm kidding. It's pink, but it's nice, isn't it? You're not going to drive a crappy pink truck around. So you have a nice truck. You got a great haircut, by the way. I really hate your hairline. I have too much forehead. You got a great kid. Is this your kid? Mr. Fortnite?
Yeah.
Congrats on both counts. You know what I'm getting at? Great family, great truck, good looking, probably doing pretty well. Do you live in a nice house? Yeah. The thing is, there will always be someone who's doing better than you, and there's always a lot more people not doing as well as you. And what are the stories that we allow to be made up in our heads? They don't know your story. They don't know the struggle you put in. They don't know what kind of days and nights you put in, right? Even our own children sometimes don't realize the stress that we've gone through because we protect people from that stuff. But unfortunately, an outcome of that can be the assumption that every deposit is just another bag of gold for his truck to go back to his pink house and into his basement where he lines the basement walls with gold bricks, right? We're going to his house after this. So you guys understand what I'm saying? You have to understand that no matter where you are or what your turmoil is, someone else is looking at you like you've got it made. And we have to teach people what that's about. So provided the education people can learn business, this is what the great game has always been about. And what Jack has said since the beginning of time is that numbers are just stories about people. And what we have to do is reconnect people with the financial outcomes of their daily work, actions, and decisions. The thing is, in the Industrial Revolution, we divorced them from those financial outcomes by saying, here's your quota, your KPI, your OKR, your metric, your measure, go do that and everything else will be okay. And that is not true in every case. I love to measure stuff. We measure everything. But we keep that financial component combined so people understand that they make a bigger impact at work than they thought they did yesterday. So, given the trust, people make the right decisions. If you don't have the education in place, do you think they'll make the right decisions? They won't have the reference point. What is good? What's true north? What are our goals? How do we behave? I saw an old friend from the inner circle this morning when I came in, and he said, I always start with integrity. Is that not a great way to wake up in the morning and operate every single day? That's something I can count on. That's a foundation that I can build upon. So keep that in mind, as people need, they crave your leadership, they crave respect and dignity, they crave a place that they can come back to and know that it's probably better than all the stuff that their friends are dealing with at their jobs. And frankly speaking, do you believe that everyone at your company comes in the morning feeling like a winner, like they're crushing it at home? No, they will not. I just don't have never seen that. What if you created a culture of winning? Would that be stickier than your competitors? Would you have better talent retention? Would you have lower injuries? Would you, in other words, right? You have to have all of these things in place, because I can give people all the freedom, all of the respect and trust, and they can still drive the business into the ground. You've got to teach them business, because they haven't learned that basic arithmetic in school or at their last job. I guarantee it. I just guarantee it. So when we talked, I think we talked enough about respect and dignity. What I want you to do is flash forward to people should share. And I just, is it okay if I'm down here walking around? Just want to make sure you're okay with it. When we talk about sharing and a stake in the outcome, again, it could be recognition, rewards, bonus programs, perhaps employee ownership, but also, isn't there a reward in just achieving a goal? There is. It's all of those things. But you guys are so immersed in day-to-day work, I want you to zoom out a little bit and go, if I were a new hire, what would my experience be here? And really kind of reverse engineer the experience and say, wow, first of all, none of us who are doing well in business right now have time to take people off the line. And I'm saying anyone who's, you know, driving a truck, providing a service, writing code in a dark room in their mother's basement, because that's where I assume it all happens. I'm willing to wait for laughs. So you know it's true also to some degree. The reason I'm pounding on this is because what I want to do is say the sharing can be more than just monetary. They need to know they're a part of something bigger, their tribe, their people, their team. Does that make sense? I mean, really, culture does sell not only to customers, but also to future employees. Look, do you guys, have you ever heard of remanufacturing before I mentioned it a few minutes ago? Many of you have. I got to tell you, in the world, no one's ever heard of it, right? When was the last time you bought a remanned refrigerator or something? Never, right? We don't do refrigerators, so don't ask. What the point I'm trying to make is we're invisible. We're behind the brands, right? GM, Mercury Marine, Harley Davidson, Genie, John Deere. You would never know that it's an SRC engine because it's still branded John Deere. Are you with me? The thing is, when I go home and I'm in Springfield and someone I meet in public They go, what do you do? And I'm like, I work for SRC. And they'll go, huh. If they've heard of it, they go, ooh, good company. If I ask them one question of any kind, they have no idea what we do. But they've heard about our culture. Isn't that fascinating? Wouldn't you like to be that company in your town? So it all wraps up into this idea of we have to start somewhere. So this is what we're going to do. And your activities in your workbook, look at page 4, please. How many of you do have established values and beliefs in your business? I was guessing most of you would. Could you go ahead and take just a moment or two to start jotting down and filling in the blanks on page 4? Now keep in mind, we're teaching people, they might have been a manager somewhere else, they might be a brand new hire that's a disassembler, that's our lowest entry-level position where you're literally taking apart broken stuff. You might also be an executive we've captured from some other organization that we need to grow to the next level of SRC's journey. We all go through this. We all do the work. I see a few of you still writing. Does anyone want to volunteer? Do we have a microphone I could borrow so everyone can hear the results of this? Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
I'm happy to run it around too.
Oh, okay. Well, do you mind, Austin? Absolutely. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Austin. Excellent. I'm just curious, does anyone want to share what you've written down? Yes. I would like to hear that.
One of these guys are going to say it.
I would like that even better.
They created them.
People support what they help create.
Ours is off the acronym PINK.
Go figure.
No surprise there. Prompt, impactful, notable, and kind.
Do you have a statement after each one?
We do.
Could you go ahead and share with us? You guys good with that?
Yeah.
I want to hear them. Do you?
So for prompt.
That doesn't sound like you want to hear them. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah.
There you go.
So for prompt, we try to stick to just one word because we want to remember it. We want it to be easy for everybody to remember it. But prompt is just being on time every time. And that's really important in the home service industry. Impactful, it's making an impact on anybody and everybody that we do business with, so not just our employees, but also our vendors and customers. Notable, we strive to be remarkable, standing out through our dedication, attention to detail, and exceptional service. So we try to stand out. You may have noticed the pink earlier yesterday. Kindly, we approach every interaction with warmth, respect, and kindness, making every customer feel valued and cared for. That's one of the biggest ones for me, is just being kind, because you never know what anybody's going through. So
you never know what struggles other people are having. And by the time that you guys get the call, I'm guessing that they've had more trouble than usual.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Who liked it? Yeah. Right? Good stuff. Well said. Thank you. You're Austin. You're right there. You just popped up. Ladies and gentlemen, Austin. Who else would like to share? We got a volunteer back here.
Hey, Jessica.
Thank you for that.
Yes, our core values are quality, transparency, results, relationship building, and future proofing.
Nice. So wait a minute, you're not off that easy. You can't say stuff like future proofing. Who would like to be future proof? If everyone doesn't raise their hand, we're gonna slap the crap out of you. We all want to know, how do you maintain sustainability? How do you make it last for years? Go.
Well, I marketing company. So future-proofing is where we are constantly looking ahead, learning, innovating on behalf of our clients. So we call it future-proofing.
I love it. Fun. So run me through the others real quick.
So quality, I don't have a fun acronym, but I'm going to do better.
That's okay.
Yeah, so quality is really just about everything that we put out needs to be of the utmost quality. We need to look at it and feel really great about it when we're going to serve it. Transparency, we want to be transparent not only with our clients, but also with our team members. So that is in the reporting that we do, in the expectations that we give to people. We're not going to say, hey, we're going to give you this or that if we don't think that we can do it.
Okay.
Results is, you know, that's what everybody wants, right? We all want results.
That's why you get hired.
Right. And whether that's results in our personal life, results in the marketing company we hire, results in having, you know, a community like this, we all want results. So what do those look like? And then relationship building, we love to build relationships. So I've built my entire business on building relationships with people, and I hope to continue to do that.
I love it.
Building relationships with our staff members as well is also really, really important.
Yep. Can I challenge you on one?
Yes.
On transparency.
Yes.
We're known as the open book management people. I'm not here to shove that down your throat, mind you. But have you ever thought about if people knew how darn hard it was to make money, they might behave differently? Has that ever occurred to you?
I would say that transparency is probably the value or the core value that I'm not the best at when it comes to my staff members.
I understand.
That's a very good point, yeah.
I only want to challenge you to think about it. You don't have to do anything, but just ask yourself the question, what if people acted like they owned the place? It's a really good question, isn't it?
I'm asking myself that question today.
Good. So the thing is, you'll know at what level and to what depth you want to be transparent, but even saying, hey, did we even make money on that last job? Every one of you could say that, couldn't you? You could think unit economics and say, well, by golly, this happened and that happened, and I bet you do postmortems all the time to say, how did we do? What if we did a premortem and said, here's my forecast of what I think will happen? That would be really empowering, wouldn't it? But it doesn't happen without education. So again, it's just a challenge, right? Let's hear it for them. I think they did a great job. Yep. You want to do them? Austin, we're going to go one more, and then I think we're going to have to move on. By the way, thank you guys. This is really good. This is what I was wanting. All right. Wow us.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity here. My first time speaking here, so we use acronym SMART. We're actually in the process of doing this. The five words we have is stewardship, mastery, accountability, respect, and teamwork.
Pretty nice, right? Tell me about, one more time, the first one was?
Stewardship.
Stewardship. Can you tell me what that means to you and what you're trying to teach?
We try to honor God in everything we do. We're just but stewards. Everything we have, our time, our resources, our money, everything, we're stewards.
It's pretty powerful, right? So when you have a new hire, do you expose them to the list of values and explain them to them?
Yes,
to the new
do.
Hires? And how do they respond? Has anyone ever said, wait a minute, am I in church or am I at work? He's from Missouri, I can say that.
No, everybody responds very well to them.
That's awesome.
One of the things we do, we have a kind of interesting hiring process. So we run down to this thing and I give them our employee manual and said, if you want to support this, contact me again. I will not contact you.
So oh,
we
wow.
Give it back to them to come back again.
That's ownership, isn't it? It's now in your hands. And do you think that any of his competitors would get a hold of that employee manual and say, ha ha, I am now going to take over the world? Probably not going to work out for the ordinary business person, is it? Because they don't believe in stewardship. They don't believe in trust. They don't believe in, and now I forgot how to spell SMART. But that's okay. You know what I'm saying though, right? So give me M again. Mastery? You're listening.
Mastery. We try to, we have a fairly long paragraph, so we try to be a master in every cut, weld, and decision.
That's
with
great.
Fabrication shop, by the way.
So mastery for you is the trade itself, the craft of metal fabrication. Well, if I'm going to be a customer of yours, I really want to know that you're masters at it, right? So let's give him a round of applause as well. Nice job. Well done. So We've got a few minutes left, and I want to just kind of, did you like this? It was just a taste, just a tiny taste. Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
You see how much discussion has to take place to really suss this out. The amazing thing is I love what I do. I love the company. I love the system because it literally changed my life. I mean, I came in essentially financially illiterate at 41 years old. Holy mackerel, can you believe it? Made so many bad decisions, and I find a place by accident that says, well, we're going to teach you about money. No one had ever said that to me, ever. And by the way, I thought it was a mistake on the job description, because that's not what they were hiring me for. They hired me for sales and marketing, because here's what you need to know. Now, my friends that have known me for a while, you guys know this, but full disclosure and transparency, Steve Baker has a degree in art. And I'm teaching you business. Ladies and gentlemen, that is America. Right? If I can learn it, that means every one of you can learn it and every one of your people can learn it. It isn't more than plussing and minusing. The arithmetic of business hasn't changed in 500 years. Probably even longer than that. But that 1494 is the year that Brother Luca Pacioli, a Franciscan friar in Italy, popularized the income statement and the balance sheet we still use today, and yet we do not teach this secret language that separates the haves and have-nots to our children in school. Is that bananas? And that's our mission. That's what we're trying to do, is teach people that what the haves have comes from understanding the universal language of business. And that is what will solve so many of our social woes and pay for our social overhead that we're creating. But we've got to do it, right? So as the course goes on throughout the year, leadership is one of those things. I've got a couple of other slides I'd like to share with your permission, because those of you who are new to SRC, I need you to know that this stuff works. And it works not for once or for twice or for 10 years. It's been 42 years of profitability and 42 years without a single layoff. That is messed up, isn't it? Is that what you hear in the business news? Is that what you hear on social media? No, it's about jobs, ladies and gentlemen. That is what funds this whole thing that we call America and the world. You are creating the future. I know that sounds like a line from a speaker on a stage. I guess it is technically. But what I am saying is you are the new educators. You are value creators. You're the ones that come up with the ideas and the innovation. And then what does private equity do? They come and find you and they buy you up. They're not coming up with their own ideas, are they? You see what I'm saying? So if you haven't done it already, you kind of need to pat each other on the back, give each other a hug. You are unique. You are special, and we need you. We need more of you. So teach young people how to be you. The best gift you can give your organization is your replacement. So one of the things we'll do in the course throughout the year is we'll even talk about succession planning and that sort of thing. This is so new, the Genie deal that I told you about. Genie's not even on here. But we're 11 companies today, but it's not the 11 companies that we have today. It's the story behind SRC and this massive organization that we've built, and I think it's massive anyway. The real secret is that since 83, we've spun off 69 different companies, most of which have been run by former frontline people. They were just given a chance to play the game. Now, let's talk value, and this is how we'll wrap up this segment. I want you to imagine that this is you in 1983. Well, let's face it, if it was you, you'd have a mullet and probably some big bells, I don't know. The 80s were fun. So what about today? Maybe we're a little more corpulent. If you put $1,000 in your 401k in 1983 when we started, when Jack turned that bend in the road, so to speak, of going from a failing division of International Harvester to an employee-owned company that was learning business, your 401k would have gone from $1,000 to about $350,000. Not a bad return. Capitalism works. But you're smarter because you're at the inner circle. You give it to Warren Buffett. And Berkshire Hathaway would turn that $1,000 into $4 million. If you were dumb enough to believe that everyone can learn business, want to make a difference, and want to add value, all the things we've been talking about in our belief system, every $1,000 in 1983 today is worth $14 million at SRC. Yeah. Are you kidding me? You don't think I kick myself in the butt every day? Like, why didn't you skip art school and go to work at SRC? No one could have told me at the time anyway, because I didn't understand. And all I'm trying to do with any of you guys, I mean, you're all so young looking and fresh, except for Greg Boss. But I want you to understand money and business, and I want you to influence your friends, because the world will be filled with people of all types forever, till the end of time. But all I'm trying to do is find some people who just want a nudge. They just want they want fins on their missile. You know what I mean? They want direction. They are currently rudderless. They don't have leadership, and that's what this topic is all about. Be the leader that you wish you always had. Be the leader that you want your children to have. And be the leader that creates not only, it's not just about money, but it's an environment that I want to be a part of, and take this away. This is where we'll stop the official presentation here. But it's not the stuff you make. It's not the services you provide. Your company is actually your product. You focus on that, and won't you have to have great quality and great on-time delivery and great customer service? And won't you have to grow and build an opportunity for people to work and enjoy and create a life? That is a powerful statement. If you get nothing else out of your whole week here, which I doubt, this is one to write down. It's not the stuff you make. It's not the service you provide. The company is your product. So work on building a great company. I hope you enjoyed that. Did you have questions? That's how good I am.